I want you to see a really ominous statement. 1 John 5:19. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Do you believe that? The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And then how about Ephesians 6:12? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness. I got too many handouts here today. I laid these out back by the offering box. It has two sides to it. The back side comes right out of Wiersbe's book. But what I wanted you to see was about angels and the two divisions, fallen angels and unfallen angels. And if you go to the unfallen angel side over on the right side, it shows you how organized it is. That there are archangels, chief princes, ruling angels, guardian angels, watchers, holy ones, stars, sons of God, very organized. If you go over to the side of fallen angels, you'll see the same thing. Very organized. Satan, ruling, demons, evil spirits, unclean spirits, rulers, powers, forces of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness. Spiritual forces of wickedness. If you don't have one of these, you can pick them up as you leave this morning. The book of Revelation that we have been looking at is about the coming king, Jesus. And the book of Revelation tells us he's going to rule over everything. Colossians 1:16 and 17 gives us one of the reasons why he's going to rule. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created by him and for him, and he existed before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now, we know that Satan has done his work on earth trying to destroy all of that. First corrupting Adam and Eve as they yielded to his temptation and fell into sin, and then working to do all the damage on earth that he could do. Colossians 1, where that verse comes from, and the book of Revelation tell us that Christ is coming back to take it all back. He said, it's mine, it's made for me, and I'm coming back to take it. I think it's important here to mention the book of Matthew. We've been looking at Revelation, the last book in the New Testament. We go back to the book of Matthew, we come to the first book of the New Testament, which is a proclamation of the kingdom of God. If you've studied Matthew, you know that the theme is the kingdom of God. The word is used 55 times throughout the book of Matthew, that term. It began to take root in the ministry of Jesus. The kingdom had come in the person of Christ. But it's going to culminate and be established on earth when he comes back. Now Matthew, along with proclaiming the kingdom of God, gives us the key word in the kingdom of God. And that key word is righteousness. Think kingdom, think righteousness. That's the way it works. You cannot have Christ's kingdom without it being a kingdom of righteousness. Can you imagine that? A kingdom of righteousness. Well, when we last looked at the book of Revelation, we saw three things the king must do in order to establish righteousness as a permanent condition on earth. And I suggested you find these themes in chapters 8 through 20. Three actions that he is going to take in order to eliminate evil from the earth and to establish righteousness as a condition, a permanent condition in his kingdom. And these three things are: he will destroy the destroyers of the earth. And we looked at that and suggested these are those who have disobeyed the creation mandate to care for the earth, to cultivate it, to refine it, to fill it with truth, goodness, and beauty. And this includes moral, ethical, economic destruction, all those things that happen in the world. Second thing he's going to do is put an end to apostate religion. There'll be no more false teaching. Everything you hear in his kingdom will be true. You can trust it. You won't even have to question, because it'll be absolute truth. And then finally, he will put an end to all satanic influence, ridding the earth of Satan and his fallen angels, the demons. When we take time and contemplate the biblical account, we realize that when we get to this subject of Satan, we have come to the origin of all evil. We've arrived at the origin of all evil as we know it and experience it. We think about this, what we realize is that the origin of evil was a personal beginning. It was brought by a person, created being. Otherwise, the entrance of evil into God's creation came about as a result of a personal choice. A choice that one of God's created beings had a name, Lucifer. That name usually rubs us the wrong way, but its actual meaning is light bearer or shining one. It was one of God's archangels with lots of responsibilities. But its beginning was not organic or a fault in the genesis of the earth, the material that was made of, but the result of a personal choice that brought something upon the earth, not in correlation to God's original creation. In Lucifer, later called Satan, we have this origin and source of all evil that we find in the world. We'll read about that in a little bit here. Adam and Eve chose to believe Satan and reproduced the same pattern in the garden by personal choice. And so when God pronounces his judgment against Adam and Eve and against Satan, here's what he says in Genesis 3:17. And God said to Adam, "Because you listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree, cursed or cursed is the ground, the earth material. It's been cursed because you made a choice. You copied the one who tempted you. And so because of Adam and Eve's personal choices, evil is introduced and established in the material, organic, atmospheric creation. We call it the earth. Also generating moral and ethical failures. It's a really interesting thing here. The issue of domains. A lot of people have written about this. One section of scripture says that God pronounced curse and judgment on the fallen angels because they left their original domain. The duties and responsibilities that were given to them as servants of God, they forsook in favor of thinking they could find something better. Through personal choice, Adam and Eve were removed from their original domain through the choice that they made. How it all began. First of all, Lucifer, the shining one, the angel of light, was a created being. God created angels just as he created us. And here's what Jeremiah says, you were blameless, Ezekiel, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created. He was talking to Lucifer. Think of that, you were blameless. He was a ruling angel. God had given him incredible responsibility and power that goes with that. The Bible talks, as far as we know, of three main ruling angels. You've heard their names, Michael, Gabriel, and Lucifer, who now we call Satan or the devil. And then the third thing we find out about him is he's fallen. So that's his history. Created being, a ruling angel, and then a fallen angel. Now, his fall is described for us in two Old Testament passages, and I'd like to read those this morning together, just sections of it, not the entire chapters. But the first one is Isaiah chapter 14. And we'll begin at verse 12. How have you fallen from heaven, O star of the morning? And that term in the Hebrew is shining one. How did you fall from heaven, O shining one, son of the dawn? You've been cut down to the earth. You who were weakened, you who have weakened the nations. Stop right there. His influence over nations. Right? So we know that about him. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. Nevertheless, you'll be thrust down to Sheol, to the recesses of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you. They will ponder over you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms? There again, we see his influence on political systems. And you may remember in Revelation, as we were looking at the seven churches, the statement is made, we know where the synagogue of Satan is. And it was in one of those, in two of those churches. So we find his activity everywhere. Who shook the kingdoms, who made the world like a wilderness and overthrew cities. So there is just one account in the Old Testament of Satan's demise, the privileges he had, and then how he fell. Now turn over to Ezekiel and chapter 28. A very intriguing passage of Scripture, starting again in verse 12. And the Lord is speaking to Ezekiel, and he said, "Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, thus says the Lord." And this is so interesting, because now he's going to go ahead and say very many of the same things about Satan that Isaiah said. How do you reconcile that? I'm taking up a lamentation over the king of Tyre. What he's telling us here is that every despotic leader, and the king of Tyre was a despot, an evil man. So whether you're talking about him, or whether you're talking about Nero, or whether you're talking about Diocletian, or whether you're talking about Stalin, or whether you're talking about Hitler, or Ceausescu, whoever it is, there is a force behind every one of them. And when you see those evil activities, this is the explanation of it. It goes back to a personal choice that an angel of God made, this one called Lucifer. So here's what he says. You have the seal of perfection, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, and the onyx, and the jasper, and the lapis lazuli, and the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers. That word also means who rules, who guards, who governs. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. Remember we saw in the beginning of the book of Revelation, the throne of Jesus high and lifted up, and all the light and shining that was around him. I think that's what that's a reference to. He was right there. He could see what the throne of God looked like. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until righteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence, and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I've destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you. By the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I've turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have become terrified, and you will be no more. And what he means by that is a day is coming when you will have no influence anymore. We get to the end of the book of Revelation. We find Satan cast into Hades. And it says forever and ever. He's done. This one and all of his angels, his demons, who touted freedom for everybody, freedom, 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 are bound eternally. And all the causes of evil have been stripped away from the earth, and all things will be made new. A few words about his spheres of influence. As we read through the Bible, we find it kind of an amazing thing that he has access to heaven. Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Zechariah 3:1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Remember the picture? The accuser. Job 1:7, and the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From roaming about the earth and walking on it." Just picture that. What kind of trouble is he trying to get us into next? And then finally, Revelation 12:9, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels with him. Time is coming when that's going to happen. Verse 4 of that says, when he was cast out of heaven, one third of the stars of heaven followed him, the angels followed him. So that was the large number of angelic beings he ruled over. Well, I realized when I was preparing this, we're going to have to spend a couple weeks on it because we can't get it all today. So I'm going to close with this. Why is Satan so dangerous? Why is this a subject that needs to be considered and thought through? Why is he so hard to deal with? Why such a nemesis? Why so destructive? So, you all got one of these handouts, right? So all I want to do, and this is all kind of introductory to where we'll finish up next week, we'll find out that Satan actually has doctrines. Jesus has doctrines. Satan has doctrines. And they're actually listed in the Bible. And people believe his doctrines. But I just want to take this and just read through it in closing today. And kind of brings us up to a good place. And again, answering that question, why is he so hard to deal with? Why is he so destructive? And why is he destructive and we don't know it? He's working destruction right under our noses sometimes, and we don't even get it. So, one of the ways we come to know who God is look at his names. And there are wonderful names of the Lord all through the Old Testament and the New. Satan has names and titles as well. So, I just want to read through this and remind us of all of his names. So, the first one we have is serpent. This is the first reference to Satan in the Bible. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And the Hebrew word for serpent means smooth, cunning, crafty, clever, sly. That's who Eve encountered. He was of beauty too. Revelation 12:9 calls attention to two matters of note. First, his identity is made clear in that he is called that serpent of old. What's that referring to? The garden. The garden, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. And second, the extent of his cunning is revealed in the words, who deceives the whole world. His deception is operating everywhere. Now, what is one of his greatest deceptive ploys? As one who deceives the whole world, he achieves one of his greatest advantages when he influences people to disbelieve in his existence. How sly is he? He's not there. There's no such thing. This is a warning, of course, not to fall into that trap. Come to grips with the reality of this personal being who is operating in the world. Satan is the other name we're familiar with, and this is the most common name of our chief adversary. It's mentioned repeatedly, probably 55 times throughout the New Testament. And if you look into a Greek lexicon, here are the definitions. Opposing spirit, enemy, hater, and adversary. Meaning of the word Satan. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. There he is operating against one of the Lord's priests in the Old Testament. Many of you are familiar with 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Our adversary, Satan. He's called the devil. The word devil means slanderer, calumniator, or deceiver. The word is diabolos, from which we get diabolic or diabolical. And the verb diabolo means to throw apart, to set at variance, to separate, and to divide. What do you think of when you read that? Have you seen any dividing in your lifetime? Any separation? We see it in families. We see it in marriages. We see it in churches. We see it in political parties. We see it everywhere. Is all this just the result of human nature? Or is there another force at work? Do you want to name somebody who's the great separator, the great divider? It's one of his strategies. It's what he is always trying to do. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, diabolo, to be tempted by him. It's called the accuser. This is an interesting word. It means one who speaks down, one who incriminates, one who charges, or frames. He's always trying to frame you. How does he do that? He stands before God and he says, I didn't do that. Look, there's Gordon. I think maybe he might have been the one. So there you have it. Always working to undermine. The accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God. How often? Day and night. And he's just doing it all the time. Okay? Lucifer means light bearer. We've already talked about that. He is a great deceiver because, as 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no wonder, for Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He's called the dragon. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who's called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels with him. We've already identified that there's a third of the stars of the heaven. He's also called murderer and liar. You are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. He is a liar, and he is the father of lies. That's that quote that Wiersbe had at the beginning of his book. He's a deceiver. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. And then 2 John 7, for many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not acknowledge Jesus as coming in the flesh. This is the deceiver and the Antichrist, those who believe that God did not come in the flesh. A ruler of this world Now judgment is upon the world. Now the ruler, the prince of this world, shall be cast out. The judgment of which Jesus spoke was his own death. Repetition here. By his death on the cross, Satan would be cast out and stripped of power and position. That's one of our protections right there, is it not? The cross of Christ. He is the prince of the power of the air. This also reinforces that idea of his influence everywhere. You formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Another repetition, I'll fix those. The idea in him being the prince of the power of the air is that even though Satan cannot be seen, his influence fills the air, indicating that he is an everyday and everywhere influence. Though Satan is not omnipresent, that is everywhere present, his work is carried on by a worldwide company of fallen angels, demons, who are under his command. I put in parentheses there, Screwtape Letters. It's just good to go back and read that every now and then, as you see these ploys that Satan works. One of C.S. Lewis's really good works. The Destroyer. They have as king over them the angel of the abyss. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon. In the Greek, Apollyon. Both terms mean destroyer. Destruction is his operable word. The tempter. The tempter came to Jesus and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Then he's called the evil one. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Jesus prays for his followers, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. It behooves us to realize that there is one whose character in every motive and purpose is evil. But this is actually the biblical characterization of Satan. That's who he is. Let me just mention one other term in the Bible that I don't have in here. I'll add it. The God of this age. And even if our gospel is veiled, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. Now just think about it. Do you try to reach your neighbor for Christ? Do you have those concerns? The people at the market, people where you work, trying to reach those people for Christ? It says he's blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ. Here's an explanation why so many people are not followers of Christ. If there were no Satan, or influence of Satan, all people would easily see the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ. That humans cannot see, the Bible tells us, is a sure sign of Satan's influence. Somebody made this observation one time. I think it's worth discussing and thinking about. When they said, unbelievers are not the enemy. They are victims of the enemy. Sometimes we get really mad at people, don't we? Who are nothing else than victims. Whose minds have been blinded by the light of the glory of the gospel of Christ. By the one who does this. It's amazing, isn't it? So let us keep that in mind as we try to share our faith with people. We're not trying to make them the enemy. We are realizing that they have been bound by a power. Now, unfortunately, there are a lot of people in the church who are under satanic attack and oppression. And I've encountered a lot of those. So when we come back next week, we'll talk about the ways we feel Satan's influence today in our lives. And then we'll look at five ways we protect ourselves against Satan's attack. And then his final outcome, Book of Revelation, where John ends up in the 20th chapter. Okay? Have a happy day. Okay? Don't let it get you down. There's a great day to celebrate. And I just wanted to put all that together so you could have it in front of see all those scriptures together, so we realize the magnitude of this issue that we are dealing with. Father, thank you that we have one another, that we are members of the body of Christ, and we're told that's one of our protections. We thank you that you've given us your word, and that's a protection for us. Thank you that you've given your Holy Spirit to indwell us, and that's our protection. And thank you for our own testimonies that we have come to know you, and that that in itself is a protection. Thank you for all the great provisions you give to us. And we pray as we examine this topic, we'll realize the seriousness of it and know how to deal with people in our world, how to deal with Satan himself, and how to find security and hope in our relationship to you. We do thank you for this day and the celebrations that will be taking place. And we thank you for every good gift that comes to us through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's in his name we pray. Amen.